Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to get you on the program here this evening. And let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the program tonight. And just pray that you would bless, use us for your glory. Help us point people to search into Christ and encourage believers in their walk with you. Use us for your glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, again, welcome back to the program, and welcome our listeners in Florida joining us here for our second hour tonight. Just a reminder, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. We're actually on from 10 o'clock until midnight now, but in Florida we're only on from 11 o'clock till midnight. But you can find the past programs on our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Scroll down on the right-hand side of the page, and you'll see the programs listed there, and you'll see it on there, and it'll say Hour 1 and Hour 2 for Sunday nights. You'll also see our Friday afternoon programs. We're on and Friday afternoons from 1:30 until 2 o'clock, and so you can see them there. Occasionally, you'll see a part one and part two. That's because on occasion, I join up with my friend Pastor John Lutz of North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio. He's on from 1 o'clock until 1:30, and oftentimes we'll join our programs together, and I'll guest on his and he'll guest on mine, and that gives us an hour on Friday afternoon sometimes. And so that's where you'll see a part one, part two on our Friday afternoon, but normally it's just a half an hour. So that's what you normally see listed there. But those are all there, and I'm not sure how many years they go back. I know on the webpage it goes back to at least 2020 or so. Periodically, I chop some of them off and I put it on an archive. And if you scroll down, you'll see the Live with Pastor Al audio archive. And you can go there and you can listen to a number of them there. But I also want to make mention that if you go there, there's a number of articles that are available there that you can read, and some comments and things like that also, and hopefully be a blessing to you, and link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. We are in Richfield, Ohio, small church, and we certainly try to help people develop a biblical worldview and to learn to walk with God. And we certainly welcome your visit. If you're up in northeastern Ohio, we're midway between Akron and Cleveland. And for people out of the area, the best way to see it is right where Interstate 77 crosses Interstate 271. That's almost exactly where we're at. And that's the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And I was sharing earlier that I like preaching through books of the Bible. Last Sunday morning, I finished the book of 2 Peter, and I began in the Gospel of John today, and I was excited to do that. I love the Gospel of John, and so I began that one today, and it's nice because as we're coming up to the celebration of Christmas, it's kind of nice to get into the Gospel of John, which does talk a bit about the birth of Christ. And it's interesting, I was sharing with our church, and if you've not heard this before, there are four Gospels, which you're probably aware of, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And of the four, three of them Matthew, Luke, and John share a little bit about the birth of Christ. Luke is probably the most familiar, and talking about the shepherds and things. And there's reasons that some, such as Mark, well, there's reason that Mark does not have it at all, and that some of the things are a little bit different. For instance, in John's Gospel, in John chapter 1, it basically starts out in verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not." And then a little further down in verse number 14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And it doesn't get into a huge amount of the story of Bethlehem and the shepherds and the wise men and all of that, but it gives us this idea: the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. And then from there we get back talking about John and John bearing record of Christ and all that. And you say, well, why doesn't John say much about it? Mark says nothing about it, and then Matthew and Luke have extensive information on the birth of Christ. And when you understand the purpose of the four Gospels, remember in the Scripture there's the I think it's a seraphim or something that has the face of an ox, the face of a lion, the face of an eagle, the face of a man, and this represents the face of the eagle represents the lion represents the regal or royal nature of God, and the face of the ox represents the servant nature and of the Messiah, I should say, of Jesus, the Messiah, God the Son, the royal nature, and then the servant nature. And then, of course, the face of the man represents the humanity of Christ. And then the face of the eagle represents the heavenly nature or the deity of Christ. And we see that reflected in the Gospels, because the Gospel of Matthew reflects the royal, the regal nature of Christ, and it delves into his life, starting with his nativity, and presenting Christ the King. And so you have to have a nativity, you have to have the background, the genealogy and all, of Christ the King. But then when we get to Mark presents Christ the servant. And when you think about it, the genealogy of a servant isn't important. And so Mark doesn't give us his genealogy, his birth, his nativity, or anything. And then when you get to Luke emphasizes the humanity of Christ. And, of course, as a man, we want to know about his background. And so Luke gives some extensive background information on the nativity of Christ. And then when we get to John, we get to the fourth category, which is the heavenly nature or the deity of Christ. And that's why we start out with, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then we see the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And so God has no genealogy, but Christ, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh and dwelt among us, has as his genealogy that he is God, but that he's God who became flesh and dwelt among us. And so they all tie together: the King, the servant, the man, the deity. And it all ties together, giving us the various natures of Christ. It really is kind of exciting reading the Gospels when you realize those things. So I'm excited to look at this. We just simply started with the first two verses of the Gospel of John tonight, and looking at the deity of Christ and the fact that Jesus Christ, the Word, is not a lesser God. He's not a created God, but he is God Almighty, Jehovah God, manifest. He was born as a babe laying in a manger. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But that wasn't his beginning, because he's always existed as God. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses try to say that Jesus is actually Michael the Archangel. They don't like to tell you that right away. Part of the reason they don't like to tell you that right away is because they like to tell you that there's nothing in the scripture that says that Jesus is God, which is not true. Even in their New World Translation, there's portions that plainly indicate that Jesus is God, but they say, oh, you just infer it. You read between the lines. Well, the reason they don't really like to spend a whole lot of time telling you that Jesus and Michael the Archangel is because when you ask them point blank, where in the Bible does it say that, you kind of get the, it doesn't really. You just have to kind of read between the lines because it's inferred. Yeah. And they're criticizing us. And they had a real problem with the Gospel of John chapter 1, where it says, in the beginning was the Word with a capital W, and the Word, capital W, was with God, capital G, and the Word, capital W, was God, capital G. That was a problem, because it's obviously the Word with a capital W is the Christ. And it's Jesus the Christ, because that's the babe that was lying in a manger. That's the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. And this was problematic. And when I was a missionary in the Samoan Islands, I had gotten a hold of a book, which unfortunately I no longer have. I would love to find it again sometime. I've looked a couple times, not been able to find it. Can't remember the title, can't remember the guy's name. But the guy that wrote the book had been formerly one of the top people in the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society in Brooklyn, New York. And he was one of the guys that when people in the Kingdom Halls had questions that they couldn't answer, and they would send them there. Their group was the group that answered the question and told what the official Jehovah's Witness policy was on that, or statement was on that. And he had the opportunity to be one of the people who worked on the New World Translation, because they used the King James Bible, but it had too many problems for them, and not to mention John 1:1. And so they decided to do their own translation, and this man was one of the people on the committee of putting it together. And they searched through hundreds of different Bible versions and language, different languages and things, trying to rework John chapter 1, verse 1. Now, if you're familiar, in the New World Translation put out by the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, which is the Jehovah's Witnesses, they say in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God with a little g. They put that little article A in there and call him a God with a little g because they believe he's a created being. Well, where did they get that from? Where did they get the justification? Well, he says by the only manuscript or the only translation that they could find that gave them that wording was a German translation by a defrocked Roman Catholic priest by the name of Johann Gerber. And Johann Gerber, who would channel a familiar spirit, what the Bible calls a devil, we use the term more familiar, a demon. It's an unclean spirit. It's a fallen angel, according to the Word of God. And by his own testimony, Johann Gerber, channeling this fallen angel, was given a translation of the Gospel of John that essentially in German said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God with a little g. And they, out of all of the hundreds and hundreds of manuscripts and translations and languages that they went through, they found this one. And on the basis of that one, the only one that they could find, they changed the reading in their Bible to make it more closely equate with that of Christ being a Michael the Archangel, a created being, rather than being God, Jehovah God, in human flesh. And that's problematic when you change a scripture like that based on the admitted information or channeling of a false spirit. Well, there's a couple other things I was going to touch on with that. Let me just touch on that real quick because we got some more callers calling in. I like to reference, for people's sake, over in Isaiah. Isaiah has some tremendous statements that relate to this. He says in Isaiah chapter 44 in verse 8, "Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told you from that time, and have declared it? Ye are my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any." And so God here says there's no other God but him. Now, remember the Old Testament, we used a couple words here. There was Elohim, there was Adonai, and there was Jehovah. A few verses above that, we see in verse 6, so we know we're talking about Jehovah God here in verse 8, because verse 6 says, "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel." Now, Lord there is all capital letters because it's Jehovah. In other words, "Thus saith the Jehovah, the King of Israel." And then there's a comma there, and this is where sentence diagramming comes in well. He says, "and his Redeemer." Now, his Redeemer means that this Redeemer belongs to Jehovah, the Lord, the King of Israel. The Redeemer belongs to him, and the Redeemer is identified as the Lord of hosts. Lord is all capital there again, which means it's Jehovah. So literally, this verse is saying this, if you put Jehovah in there, "Thus saith Jehovah, the King of Israel, and Jehovah's Redeemer, the Jehovah of hosts." Interesting statement, isn't it? "I am the first," he says, "and I am the last, and beside me there is no God." Jehovah says that he is God, and there is only one God, and as he says a couple verses later, "Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any." So we're talking about God with a capital G. We're not talking about a lesser God, a God with a small g that refers to an idol, a false God that really doesn't exist at all. And we're also not talking about when the Bible says that we're called gods in the sense that magistrates, judges, and such are called gods. That's not what he's talking about. They're called gods or lords because they exercise authority. You know, you rent a house. You don't own the house. You rent it from your landlord because he has sovereignty, authority over that house because it's his. And in the British courts, you addressed the judge as my lord because he had power over you in the courts. And so that's basically where that term was used. They were not implying deity. They were implying positions of power and authority. And that's a big difference. But when you have a capital G, and we have Lord with the capital L-O-R-D, we know we're talking about the God of the Bible, the creator of heaven and earth. And he says that he is the King of Israel, and he has a Redeemer who's the Lord of hosts. And that's because Jesus is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You say, how can that be? Isn't that two gods? No, it's not two gods. It's not two gods any more than I'm two people sitting here, or that I'm three people sitting here. Because you also got the Spirit of God that's added to the mix, and God says there's no other God. There's just him. As you go through Isaiah 44, 43, 43, 44, 45, 46, you'll see a number of statements like that. For instance, just looking here, here's 46, verse 9. "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me." The Bible is very clear. There's only one God. As the Bible says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is" what? How many? One. And then we come over here to Isaiah chapter 48, and in verse 16 he says, "Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God," that's Jehovah God, "and his Spirit," capital S, "hath sent me." Then he says in verse 17, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldst go. And really in that passage, we have God the Holy Spirit, God the Son, and God the Father all presented there. That's the Godhead. The word Trinity is often used. Trinity, the word itself, is not in the Bible, but the concept is the word Godhead is in the Bible, and it's a Godhead that consists of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, not three separate gods, but one God manifest in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And it's interesting, we're created, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, in his image. And in chapter 2, God formed Adam of the dust of the ground that formed his body. And then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. There's the spirit. And then he became a living soul. And that would be the will, the intellect, the emotion, the mind, as it were. And so we have Adam as a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. And he is analogous to the Godhead. Adam was not three Adams walking around there. He was one Adam, body, soul, and spirit. Just the same as God is not three gods. He's one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And, of course, the body of Adam corresponded to God the Son. The spirit of Adam corresponded to God the Holy Spirit, and that left the mind of Adam, the soul of Adam, to correspond to God the Father. And it was through the Father that things were decided and orchestrated, and they were carried out through the Son, empowered by the Spirit. It's the same way I'm talking to you tonight. My mind makes a decision of what to say. My body utters the sounds by the breath that it takes in, and it does that because my spirit is alive. I'm not dead. And so body, soul, and spirit working together to allow me to do what I'm doing right now. And it's a picture of the Godhead. Well, anyway, we talk about this more, but I do have a caller who's calling in waiting patiently for us. You are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you have a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We've got Dave calling in tonight. Dave, welcome to the program tonight.
Hi, Pastor Al. Good evening.
Hi. Good to hear from you.
I enjoy your program every Sunday.
Thank you.
You know, I start listening to WHK about 8 o'clock every Sunday night.
And that's up here, of course, in Cleveland for our Florida listeners, actually WHKW, 1220.
Not only do you have a wonderful program, there's also two before you, you know. And mine is the one, the first pastor I know very well. What I was going to say is, when was her name Grace that called?
Mary Grace. Yeah.
Well, she's a wonderful caller, and I have to tell her, I like every call she makes, and I know she's a good Christian because I just love to hear her. And I heard her say something you were talking about, healing, and should people use oil? Does that help, or just regular prayer? And I am to believe, it doesn't matter if you use the oil or you just pray. Remember, it only takes two or three. Okay? So that's all we need, right?
Right.
And I have been healed several times from prayer. And, you know, that's so wonderful when you are healed. But like I say, I liked what she said. And what I thought of myself, I wrote it down. Now listen to this, Al. I said to myself, I'm going to write something with, like, maybe on that line, but listen to this. It's not what God can do for us. It's what God can do through us.
Right.
Am I right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And I have written that, and every time I write a Christmas card or something, I add something to my cards. And you know I enjoy that, and I also enjoy the Christmas songs we're having. But I was going to say another thing. If you could do some of your, before your commercials, since it's going to be Christmas soon, I was wondering if you could play, like, Away in a Manger or something like that. Is that Would that be all?
That might be possible for our Christmas Day show.
Oh, okay.
Because we'll be on Christmas Day.
Yes.
And
I listen to you on Friday too.
Yeah, and so we have some things that we're going to try and do, and that's one of the things. And since you brought it up, talking about Christmas and all, one of the things I've been trying to do here on Sunday nights this month is each Sunday night in the last half hour of the program, I've been sharing on an article that I've written in the past dealing with an aspect of Christmas. We talked about in previous weeks the necessity of the virgin birth, and things of that nature. Tonight we're going to look at the shepherds of Bethlehem.
Yes.
That's very important as well, because they weren't just shepherds at random. And there's a tremendous point that we'll see in this that is really not really known by a lot of people. I had an opportunity here, and for our listeners who joined us on Faith Talk Tampa, I was talking a little bit in the last hour about how I was invited to do something for Christmas at a local political gathering. There's a group that meets in Medina County here in northeastern Ohio called McFan, Medina County Friends and Neighbors. And I was asked by Lisa Wood, the organizer there, to do something for their Christmas program. They had their last program just before Christmas, and they wanted to do something before the main speaker, and she asked me to speak about this. And I shared about the shepherds who outwardly were ordinary men who received an extraordinary knowledge of something that took place, and they shared that with everybody around them. So I sort of introduced the fact I'm going to be talking about this in the last half hour.
Well,
so we'll be looking at them.
There, the king, you know his name, I forgot. He sent them there, but they were so amazed, they actually worshiped.
Well, that's the wise men.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But we're going to look at the shepherds here. So encourage you to stay tuned.
I heard you. Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to look at the shepherds here after 11:30. We'll hit on them.
But I enjoy your program, and I called maybe once or twice.
Yes.
I just love listening to you. You are so knowledgeable in the verses in the Bible you always recite. And I have a book from Our Daily Bread. You know them.
Mm-hmm.
I sent for the Bible Word Search book. It has so much in it, and I was looking at some of the verses, and I try to mark them, and where it says, "I can do all things through Him who gives me strength." Okay, faith without works is dead.
Right.
And the other verse was like when people say they don't want to work, God will give you more. God will not give you more than you can handle.
Mm-hmm.
You say this job is too hard, and you need to pray and ask God to help you in that position you're in. And God helps those who help themselves. Remember that one?
Yeah, we have to put
faith
forward some effort.
Dead. And faith without works is dead. See, if you go somewhere and you have a problem or you can't pay your bills or something, well, you can't just sit there and worry about it. Worry is not good.
Mm-hmm.
You know how good and pleasant is it when God's people live together in unity?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have to think right, be right, do right, and live right.
Right.
Right? See how you see what I mean?
Yeah.
You know? And I want to let you go because I don't want to be talking too long, but I enjoy your program, and I just have to put my 2 cents in.
Well, I appreciate that.
But that's all I'm putting in. All right, thank you, and good night.
Well, with inflation, it was at least 5 cents. So.
Okay. Yeah, but I listen to all the three programs from 8 o'clock.
All right.
And that's why I listen to them, because I learn a lot.
Well, thank you, I appreciate that.
And have a Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas to you as well. Thank you. Thank you, Dave. And he was talking about God expecting us to do something. And you do see a certain economy in what God does in the miracles that he works. Remember the feeding of the 5,000. God didn't just wave his hand and say, be filled. Instead, he had them see what kind of food they could find. They found a few loaves and a few fishes, and he prayed over them. He made them sit down, and he distributed the food. He multiplied the food, but he made the disciples pass it out. And the people had to eat the food before they were filled. He didn't just say, be filled. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll stick with us. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Let me encourage you to check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And have a variety of things there, not only about me and the program, also linked to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. And in addition to that, number of things, articles and things that I have written. And you can listen to some past programs there. If you've missed some of our past programs, or if you're in an area where you don't hear the 10 o'clock hour, you can listen to them at Live with Pastor Al. If you're in an area where you don't hear our Friday afternoon program that runs from 1:30 until 2 o'clock, it's a half-hour program, you can find all that at livewithpastoral.com. And just wanted to share something. Speaking of that, this past Friday I was talking about the recent passage of H.R. 8404, and of which 39 Republicans joined in voting for this, and in many cases it wasn't unexpected, but in some cases is a very big disappointment. And but what I wanted to share is that I was discussing this on our program last Friday afternoon. Like I said, you can hear that at livewithpastoral.com, And I don't know that I have it up yet. I'm the one that maintains it. So if it doesn't, if I don't get it up right away, I had a rather busy weekend this weekend. So hopefully tomorrow I'll be able to get all that loaded as well as tonight's program. But I was mentioning in there about how here in Ohio, back in around 2017, 18, and there we had a couple of times where we had introduced what was called the Ohio Pastors Protection Act. And I know some other states had some similar things, but since I'm in Ohio and I was down in Columbus at the Ohio State Capitol building several times testifying before, I believe I testified before the House committee that was hearing it, and then when it was in the Senate, I testified at the Senate committee. And in my oral testimony, I shared some things, and I discussed this on our program last Friday, but I want to share something again tonight because I know a number of people did not hear the program Friday. But this House Resolution 8404, this is supposed to be the Respect for Marriage Act, really Disrespect for Marriage Act, but they linked same-sex marriage to interracial marriage. And this is interesting because, as I pointed out on Friday's program, that Justice Alito, and this was in 2016, I believe it was, or I'm sorry, 2015, in the Obergefell case that said that the 14th Amendment allowed for same-sex marriages in the United States. This is what Alito said. He was in a back and forth with Donald Varelli, who was at that time the Solicitor General of the United States during the Obama administration. And Justice Alito said, well, in the Bob Jones case, now if you're not familiar with the Bob Jones case, Bob Jones University, conservative fundamentalist Christian college in South Carolina, had a long-standing prohibition on campus against interracial dating and interracial marriage. And of course, you know, in the South, there were a number of places that had prohibitions against that. And the Civil Rights Acts and things like that said, listen, you cannot prohibit interracial marriages. Now, we're not talking about same-sex marriages. Same-sex marriage is not the same at all. Same-sex marriage means two men married each other, or two women married each other. Interracial marriages, while it may have been interracial, it was always a man and a woman. There was no discussion, no controversy over that. And that's the main requirement that the Bible has for marriage, is a man and a woman. And it actually says that a man and a man, or a woman and a woman, is an abomination. It's against God's word. And so Justice Alito in the Obergefell hearings in 2015 said, well, in the Bob Jones case, the court held that a college was not entitled to tax-exempt status if it opposed interracial marriage or interracial dating. So would the same apply to a university or college if it opposed same-sex marriage? And this is what the then Solicitor General of the United States, Donald Varelli, said. He said, you know, I don't think I can answer that question without knowing more specifics, but it's certainly going to be an issue. I don't deny that. I don't deny that, Justice Alito. It is. It is going to be an issue. Well, guess what? It is an issue because this is what they're claiming in House Resolution 8404, this Respect for Marriage Act or Disrespect for Marriage Act. They're claiming that same-sex marriage is no different than interracial marriage. And so how long is it since it opens the floodgates now once Biden signs it? It'll open the floodgates to lawsuits against people who believe that they're discriminated against because they're same-sex relationship. They used interracial marriage or opposition to it as a threat to take away the tax-exempt status of Bob Jones University. Well, how soon or how long before they use opposition to same-sex marriage as a threat to take away the tax-exempt status of a Christian school somewhere, a Christian college, a faith-based nonprofit organization, a church, or something else? Well, hey, if you don't think it's going to happen, well, let's watch and see. I think it's opened the floodgates. That was the reason they were debating a Pastor's Protection Act in the state of Ohio to try and specifically exempt pastors and churches and faith-based institutions. And, of course, some amendments were attempted on this bill to put those protections in, but they were basically shot down. There was a weak, anemic one that was in there with no real teeth, and basically this could potentially open the floodgates for lawsuits. And you say, well, they'll win the lawsuit because we have the First Amendment. And in Ohio, we have in Ohio, in addition to the First Amendment, we've got the Ohio State Constitution in Article 1, Section 7 that says, religion, morality, and knowledge, however, being essential to good government, it shall be the duty of the General Assembly to pass suitable laws to protect every religious denomination in the peaceable enjoyment of its own mode of public worship. And, you know, I said these things in the committee hearings on Ohio's Pastors Protection Act, and basically the sentiment on the legislatures was, hey, the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, First Amendment, and Ohio State Constitution provide plenty of protection. We don't need anything else. Well, guess what? You get sued. They said, "Yeah, you won't be successfully sued. You'll win in court. You'll get your day in court. You'll win, but not before you're dragged through the court of public opinion and forced to spend money that you don't have to defend yourself, and the time and the energy, the effort involved in fighting the lawsuit. Yeah, you may win in court, but at what cost? And a lot of these people know what they're doing. This is the thing to bully and to hopefully enforce compliance with the latest social engineering through the courts and now through the U.S. legislature. Please pray about this, and hopefully this will one day be overturned. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I wanted to share something here as we're coming up toward the end of the program. Talking about this earlier, and hopefully if you were waiting to hear this, the shepherds of Bethlehem that we see in Luke chapter 2, the Bible says, starting in verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, this is interesting when you think about it. It's a nice story. We've sung the song, Angels We Have Heard on High, and all these different things, you know. And we've seen the Christmas pageants and all that. Maybe your church is going to be doing one. Maybe your kids are going to be one of the angels announcing, or maybe one of them will be the shepherds. And we do this, and we know the story. But there's more to the story. God had a purpose. The angel's announcement to these shepherds wasn't just any group of shepherds. They were shepherds to be sure, but they were priestly shepherds, Levitical shepherds. They were in the tribe of Levi. And their purpose there was to oversee the birth of lambs that would be certified as acceptable to be sacrificed in the temple, specifically as the Passover lambs. In fact, Alfred Edersheim, if you've ever seen any of his books, has the book The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah. He writes in there in chapter 6, The Nativity of Jesus the Messiah, he says that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem was a settled conviction. Equally so was the belief that he was to be revealed from Migdal Eder, the Tower of the Flock. Now, let me interject here a second. The Tower of the Flock comes from Micah chapter 4, verse 8. Now, Micah chapter 5 talks about Bethlehem being where Jesus would be born. But in Micah chapter 4, verse 8, it says, and thou, O Tower of the Flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come. Even the first dominion, the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. This Tower of the Flock, this is this Migdal Eder that Alfred Edersheim is talking about in his book. And he says that this was not a watchtower for the ordinary flocks. He said this was not a watchtower for the ordinary flocks that pastured on the barren sheep grounds beyond Bethlehem, but it lay close to the town on the road to Jerusalem. And a passage in the Mishnah, he says, leads to the conclusion that the flocks which pastured there were destined for temple sacrifices. Now, picture what's going on. These priestly shepherds are there, the Levitical shepherds, and they're watching as these lambs are giving birth. And people have said, oh, it's too cold. They weren't up there. You know the 23rd Psalm? There's a guy by the name of Keller, I believe it is, Philip Keller, I think it is, who did a shepherd looks at the 23rd Psalm. It's a great inspirational devotional book if you've ever seen it. And he grew up working as a shepherd in this part of the world. And he confronted this issue where people say, well, it was too cold. The shepherds weren't there at this time of the year. He said, that's not true. We absolutely were in the hills at that time of the year. That's a teaching that came out of Northern Europe where it is much colder in December. And I happen to know that lambs and goats and cattle often give birth early in the year when it's cold. You know, I grew up on a small farm. We had dairy goats. And I can remember a number of times when the goats were giving birth and it was so cold outside that we had them in the barn. And my dad, before we had electricity in the barn, would run an extension cord out and put heat lamps in to help keep them warm. And in some cases, we actually brought the young goats, the kid goats, into the house, and we had them in the basement in order to keep them warm because it was still wintertime. This would be like in February or something. Well, in the Middle East, we're considerably further south than we are here in northeastern Ohio. And so this guy that did a shepherd looks at the 23rd Psalm said, we absolutely were out in the fields with the sheep. And so the sheep are giving birth. And the shepherds would look at these sheep as they the lambs that are born, and they would inspect them to make sure there were no blemishes, no broken or crooked limbs or anything, no spots, discoloration or anything. And the ones that were acceptable to be used as sacrifices and in the temple and to be used as Passover sacrifices, they would, after inspecting it, they would wrap a cloth around it, and they would lay it in a manger structure in order to keep it from moving around and getting mixed up with the other ones or getting injured. Now think about that. They're overseeing the birth of Passover lambs, of sacrificial lambs, and they're wrapping them with a long cloth like swaddling clothes. They're swaddling these lambs in these cloths and laying them in a manger. And all of a sudden, an angel appears in the sky. And the Bible says these angels appear in the sky and say fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, this is an extraordinary message that they received. This is incredible. But then the angel says, and this shall be a sign unto you. Do you ever wonder why it was a sign? Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. This was a sign to these shepherds because this is exactly what they were doing with the sacrificial lambs, with the Passover, future Passover lambs. They were wrapping them. They were swaddling them in long strips of cloth and laying them in a manger. And that's why this sign was so important to them. When they took their leave and they headed out of the hills into Bethlehem, and I believe it was probably about an hour's journey or so, they arrived in the stable, and what did they see? They saw the babe, Jesus Christ, the baby, the infant Jesus, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, looking exactly like the Passover lambs that they were swaddling and laying in a manger in the tower of the flock, Migdol Eder, out in the hill with the sheep. That's why this was so impressive, because Jesus Christ is our sacrifice. He is the Lamb of God. The Bible says it was slain from the foundation of the world. He is our Passover Lamb. And so when they saw this, it was something that was amazing to them. It was extraordinary. Ordinary men that were privileged to see something extra extraordinary. And as a consequence, the Bible says that when they saw this, it says here in Luke chapter 2, and the angels sang to them, and they said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men." Verse 15, it says, "And as it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, 'Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." This was an amazing thing for them. And when you understand the significance of Jesus wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, pictured him to these shepherds, these Levitical shepherds, these priestly shepherds, pictured him as the sacrificial lamb that they themselves were overseeing the birth of in the Tower of the Flock outside of Bethlehem, and wrapping in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. This drew the connection between those sacrificial lambs and Jesus Christ, the newborn king, as God's sacrificial lamb. Like Abraham said when he was called to make the sacrifice and God tested him to see if he would withhold his son Isaac. And Isaac said, "Where's the sacrifice?" And Abraham said, "God will provide himself a lamb." And guess what? It wasn't just that God would provide himself a lamb, which he did to prevent Isaac from being sacrificed, but the lamb took Isaac's place. And what we see here is Jesus Christ, God the Son, literally became the lamb. He didn't just supply a lamb, he became the lamb, the Lamb of God, and he was sacrificed for our sins. What an amazing sign. And as many times as I sung that song and saw those plays growing up and for years, when reading what Alfred Edersheim has to say in his book, The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah, and looking at the significance of this, this shows that this baby was set apart for something extraordinary. And the shepherds recognized this, and more than any others, they were able to appreciate the significance of baby Jesus wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And knowing that, we ought to appreciate that significance as well, because just like on Christmas, we wrap presents up and we lay them there under the Christmas tree, Jesus Christ was wrapped up as our present to be the greatest gift that was ever given. And that's what I want to encourage you to consider this Christmas time. The greatest gift that was ever given, the gift of eternal life that came because God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you've never put your faith in Christ, if you've never seriously looked into the claims of the gospel message, why don't you do that this Christmas? Find a church near you that preaches the Word of God, and not all of them do. I wish I could say just go to the nearest church or the church of your choice, but you need a church that's a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching church. I would encourage you to find one that uses and preaches and teaches from the King James Bible. I am partial to Baptist. I'm an independent Baptist preacher. I wrote an article on the history of Baptists. It's available online, live at pastoral.com. Baptists can be traced all the way back to the first century. They can be traced back predating the Roman Catholic Church. the Baptist as a group did not come out of the Protestant Reformation. They preceded the Protestant Reformation because they did not come out of the Catholic Church. They preceded the Catholic Church, and that can be documented in history. A lot of Baptists don't know that. That's why I'm partial to independent Baptists. I would suggest find an independent Baptist church that sticks with the King James Bible and go and ask them about this gift, the gift of salvation that comes through Jesus Christ, our sacrificial Lamb, the Lamb of God that was given, born, and laid in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes, just like the sacrificial lambs the shepherds were overseeing the birth of. And when you consider the claims of Christ, I think you'll find there's something truly extraordinary there. And when you approach it with an open mind, allowing God to speak to your heart, the greatest gift of all, the gift of salvation, the forgiveness of sins, and the knowledge that you'll be with God for all eternity. What better gift could you ask for this Christmas? You say, well, I'm already saved, Pastor Al. Well, that's great. Why not share that gift with somebody else? That's the greatest gift that you can share with somebody, is how they too can know Christ as their Savior as well. I want to thank you for listening to us tonight, and join with us again next week. Each week we're sharing something about Christmas in the last half hour. And on Sunday, December 25th, Christmas Day, that night, I'll be reading The Birth of Christ According to the Scriptures, something that I put together based on something that I had found one time. It's all Scripture from Old and New Testament sources, various Gospels, other books in the Bible, and it gives in one narrative the birth of Christ with no added words, just Scripture in one readable narrative. You can see it online at livewithpastoral.com. And if you'd like, download it, share it with your church as well, or share in your family's devotions on Christmas Day. I'll be reading that on Christmas night. I hope you'll join us and pray for us, and God bless. Have a great week.
You've been listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live, visit our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs and read articles on a variety of topics by Al Davis at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, next Sunday morning at 11 a.m., next Sunday evening at 6 p.m., or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m., 6 p.m., and every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. And tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.